let's take a few moments and see if we can't, in our mind, go back 2,000 years. 2,000 years across the ocean, down into Nazareth, Galilee, Bethlehem. Let me read for you the Christmas story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, up to the city of David, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told to them. What a spectacular evening that must have been. So let's just take a few moments here to ponder. What happens if Christmas never came about? What happened if Christ was never born? Obviously, some of the things are pretty obvious. Well, there'd be probably no Christmas music, at least the songs that we sang. It'd be kind of goofy to be singing "Away in a Manger," which we'll do outside in a minute. There really was no significance to the manger. There'd be no, maybe, Christmas work parties. You may have other parties, but Christmas work parties would cease to exist. No Christmas bonuses. Probably one less family get-together. There would be probably no Christmas lights or decorations or trees. Definitely no nativity sets. Maybe no parades. There'd be one less opportunity to be thinking of others, doing for others, buying gifts for others. And I know a lot of that is speculation, but there are some things that definitely would not be available to us if Christ had not come. So let me just share a few with them. First of all, there would be no payment for our sins if there was no Christmas. If Christ never came, we would still be indebted to God for our sin debt, which unfortunately would mean a destiny in hell for eternity. Let me read you a few verses. One particular would be very familiar to you. It's John 3:15-17, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if there was no Christmas, if Christ was never born, we would not have eternal life. For whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, if he never was there, incarnate in the flesh, we would have no eternal life. And we would not be saved. That the world through him, verse 17 says, might be saved. We would not be saved from the debt we owe to God. You know, Romans 6 says it this way: the wages of our sin is death. The Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one who forgives sin. Sometimes we think time washes away sin, but it doesn't. And as I get older, that means I've accumulated more and more sin, and that becomes more and more scary, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, because I've forgotten many of the things that I did in high school or college or seminary, or I've forgotten some of the things I've done in 31 years of marriage. Now, my wife maybe hasn't. Just kidding. But we would not be saved. Saved, but salvation has another aspect to it. This idea of saved is truly a pregnant word. I guess we could use that on this eve of the birth of Christ. A pregnant word is full of meaning. Saved also means that I'm saved from my life dominating sins and desires. If it were not be for Christ, I could be enslaved to sin. Paul writes it this way in Galatians. And I understand there's a context here that maybe I'm pulling it just a little bit out of. But in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has set us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And part of that was with the circumcision and having to obey the Old Testament law. But I think there's a broader application in other passages that we're not necessarily going to look at. But there is freedom found in the birth of Jesus Christ. John said it this way in John's Gospel chapter 8. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will, of course, set us free." In verse 36, it says, "The Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed." So, you know, I don't have to be addicted to anything. I don't have to have any certain emotion control me. Without Christmas, habits would probably never change. At best, we would get cognitive behavioral modification. Some of the addictions would continue to enslave. Fears and worries would continue to eat away a person like a cancer if there were no Christmas, if there was not a birth. Salvation. Salvation is not just saving me from my debt of sin that I'm beholding to God. It's not just saving me from the life dominating sins and the slaving desires that I have, but there's another aspect of it. You know, salvation that Jesus Christ offers us is freedom from mortality and corruption. Let me read it this way. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality." In our church family here, we've had four people die just like since about the 9th or so or the 10th of this month. I mean, there's just been a lot of death. But you know what? That baby, Jesus Christ, God the Son incarnate, when he was born, fully God, fully man, one of the aspects of salvation that he offers us is freedom from that. Now, yes, I understand the body's going to die, the physical body, but if we have everlasting life, we will go to heaven, and there'll be no more tears, there'll be no sadness, there'll be no sickness, no death, no hearing aids, no eyeglasses, no copays, no canes, no nothing. It'll be perfect in every way, shape, or form. immortality and incorruption. Never have to paint again. Never have to rake. Never have to mow. Never have to fix your brakes. It's just going to be perfect forever. There'll be no more decay. People and things won't be breaking down. One day there'll be no more disease or destruction. If Christ didn't come, we would have none of that. But He came to save us in a very full way. If Christ did not come, there'd be no payment for our sins. Number two, if Christ did not come, there'd be no depth to life. I can speak to this just a little bit. I didn't get saved until my early 20s. And life was kind of thin. Life was kind of shallow. I, as a young, unsaved individual, lived my life for the weekend. Because I got my paycheck, and we had Friday night, we had Saturday night, and we had Sunday. And we could play those whatever many hours they were, 48 hours until we went to work. We hated work. But we worked just for the weekend, or at least I did. And I was thinking about that, and that was one of the things that brought me to conversion, was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like wasting away, what, 5/7 of my life? 5 days of it, I just couldn't stand. And the only life it brought to me was the weekend. And even though we may have had some fun on the weekend, it wasn't enough to sustain me through the next week. And it was just kind of cyclical. But Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Without Christ being born and living and dying and being rose again, there'd be no satisfaction in life to the degree that we can have it with Jesus Christ. Because I know some people out there say, buddy, you don't know what you're talking about. There's all kinds of satisfaction out there. There's all kinds of meaning and purpose and identity out there. And I can attribute that to a certain degree. I had some fun 2 days a week on Saturday and Sunday. But it's not to the depth of enjoyment and satisfaction, meaning and purpose that you can have with Jesus Christ. So I'm not trying to negate that there's nothing outside these walls. But within the body of Christ, as a believer, life is just fuller and richer and deeper and more meaningful. And without the cross, there'd be none of that. Without the cross, or let me back up, without the birth of Jesus Christ, if there were no Christmas, if there was no baby born, there'd be a far less understanding to life. It's the life of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ that give us the biblical glasses, which puts everything in focus. You know, when you think about it, you know, we've seen some of the commercials, you know, the old Budweiser commercial. You only go around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. Even the Bible got some of that idea where it says, you know, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. If this is it in life, we look at the life through one set of lenses. But if we accept the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, then we put on a different set of glasses and we come up with a whole different biblical worldview. We view the world differently. We view the end differently. We know how this is going to end. We know how it's all going to play out. When you understand the end of the story, because most of us are right now in the middle of it, it makes more sense. If we know the end of the story, it helps us understand the middle. And there's just a lot of truth and comfort that we can receive just by saying, you know, God sees and God rewards. And there's just a great deal of comfort from that that we can just take from that concept alone. We would not know how to deal with the struggles and disappointments of life to the degree that we can with the Bible. We would not know how to treat our enemy or treat our neighbor to the degree we would if we didn't have the Bible. We'd be lacking the ability to communicate with each other. Over and over again, you go to these business conferences and all how to run a business and all the biblical principles on communication is being taught out there. Just without it, without the Bible, we would just be We just have a harder life, is all I'm trying to say. If Christ did not come, if Christmas never happened, there'd be no guidance as to how we could live with evil, suffering, and death. As I mentioned, we've just got several families in our church. We had one person whose family passed away yesterday. Sunday morning, I found her. Just a horrible situation, but they're dealing with it with a different perspective. She was a believer, and they are sorrowing, but they sorrow as those who have hope. Hope of the resurrection. Hope of a home in heaven. Hope that as believers, we will join them one day in heaven. But how bleak would life be living with the only realization that suffering was an end rather than a means to an end? And the Bible teaches, it gives us a meaning to that. Oh, and just one more, and then I'll be done. You know, one of the beautiful things about the birth of Jesus Christ was the birth of Jesus Christ allowed us to, as we work through that whole process, allowed us to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that presence of the Holy Spirit just really puts a spring in a person's step. It just calms the seas, the storms around us. It gives us, as the Bible says, kind of a light to our feet and a light unto our path. You know, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit living within us, we'd never enjoy His presence. We would never know the love of God within us, or the joy, or the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, all of which are a byproduct of the Holy Spirit living within us. But if there was no baby, then we'd not be having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And what a privilege it is, because in the Old Testament saints, not every saint was filled with the Holy Spirit. Occasionally the Holy Spirit would come upon them, called the theocratic anointing, for a specific job, for a specific period. But it's only after Christ's birth, death, and resurrection that we all can have the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful comfort that is to us here today. You know, without having the Holy Spirit within us, it's like you're looking through life single-dimensional instead of 3D. Without the Holy Spirit within us, it's like looking at life black and white instead of high def. You know, without the Holy Spirit within us, it's like listening to music with a mono sound rather than Dolby or Bose surround sound. There's just not the life that we could have with Jesus Christ. But Christ did come. He did come, and we can be saved from our sins. We can be reconciled to God. We can live with Him forever. Jesus did come, and we can enjoy the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers to all who will believe Him. We can live our lives according to biblical wisdom. We can live our lives knowing the end and having a different perspective and outlook on life. And we can enjoy the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing that is to us. So in conclusion, there's this Christmas song that says, "All hail, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, forevermore be Thy name adored. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." You know, if this church, if we could help you experience the salvation that this birth offers, if we could help you enjoy the fullness of life that this birth, the birth of Jesus Christ offers, or the understanding of life, or if you'd like to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, all that was offered to us as a part of Christ's birth, I would invite you to talk to me after the service. Pick up the phone, give us a call, leave us a message, or get on our website, oxfordvalleychapel.org, and email me. And I would love to, within the next couple of days, get together with you and show you, again, just all the significance of what this birth represents. Let's pray. So, Father, we do thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Father, I thank you for the gift that you've given to us through the birth of your Son, the perfect life of your Son, the humiliating death, the painful death, the burial, but then the glorious resurrection of your Son. And because of that, we can be reconciled to you. We can become your child. We can become a joint heir. Wow, what a thought. Father, if there's one here who maybe came to this service looking for the real reason of Christmas, came looking for an ache in their heart or their soul, came looking for some balm for their wounds, for their hurt, I pray, Father, that they would take just a brief effort to reach out personally after the service, by phone, by email. And Lord, I just would ask that you'd give us just a true blessed time as we celebrate our Savior's birth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.